Hello, Grace Church. Well, let's continue our journey through the Heidelberg Catechism. It's been a while since I've stated what our goal is with studying this catechism, and so just as a reminder of what we're doing here while we're going through this, and to catch up any new people that might be listening, we are being discipled by an historic catechism, a tool that the church used dating all the way back to the 16th century, a tool designed to help fight against heresy, to help train young men and young women growing up in the faith of what they believe and why they believe it. And we're on this journey to be discipled and to grow in our faith through these great truths that we're learning that have been expounded from Scripture and put together in this nice little tight summary form that we call the Heidelberg Catechism. And I hope you've been enjoying it. And this catechism, again, is, you know, it's broken down into 52 Lord's Days, 128 questions. And today we find ourselves now at Lord's Day number 10 and question and answer 27. And so within the Heidelberg Catechism, there's a lot of questions in regards now where we're at in the about the Apostles' Creed. And that's the section we find ourselves in right now, the Apostles' Creed. So last week we were asked question 9, which said, what do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Which comes right out of the Apostles' Creed. And here was part of the answer that we went over. And it's that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence. That word providence is now how we get to our question today. So it went from the Heidelberg to the Apostles' Creed to the words Father Almighty to now the word providence. And if you followed all that, we now find ourselves at Lord's Day 10 in question and answer 27, which ask, what do you understand by the providence of God? So keying in on that word providence, what do you understand by the providence of God? Listen to this answer. The almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And I have to say, this is my favorite answer of all 128 answers found in this catechism. There's just something that's so comforting, anxiety-killing, stress-relieving about this answer, and I love it. But not everybody will love this answer. This understanding of God's all-encompassing providence requires an outlook that can challenge us, that it will, in some cases, completely change the way you view every single thing you know. And basically going from seeing the universe as a cosmos that and a place where man rules and God reacts, to seeing everything through the lens of God running and controlling and governing the universe. And that's what we call providence. And there's a big difference there. A huge difference in man ruling and God reacting to God ruling and man reacting. Just complete world change, a worldview change there in those two different viewpoints. And so let's look at some of the definitions of providence so we can have a biblical understanding of it. And may we come, you know, with our understanding, we have a baggage that we come to understand things with, a worldview that we've already developed. And so may we, with reverence and humility, let God show us this week and next week from his word and guide us in what providence is, and that we not go too far beyond what his word has revealed to us of what providence is. And so first off, you have to start with God. That's where everything starts from. So you have to start with God. There is a God, therefore there is providence. So no God, no providence. Because hopefully, as you will see, to suppose a God without him ruling the world is to, in fact, deny God. And that's key. So, you suppose a God without him ruling the world. If you have that idea of a God that there is a God and he does not rule the world. Well, there's not a God. You just denied the very person you said there was. Because that is the essence of God. He is guiding and directing and, as we'll see, governing the entire universe. The primary writer of the Heidelberg Catechism, Ursinus, said this, "For the world can no more exist without God than it could have been created without him." So, we know you see the universe, it exists. Well, it exists because God created it. And we understand that. That's clear. But without God, you would not only have a created world, you would not have a world that you're in right now. And I know it's kind of basic and elementary, but you got to understand that to deny the doctrine that we're getting ready to go over, the doctrine of providence, if you deny that, you are in fact denying God. And that's why your sinus reminds us that of denying this doctrine denies God himself. And not only that, but we rob him of praise. So what is providence? And if it's on the same lines of denying God, if I deny this doctrine, then I better know what this doctrine is. So a couple definitions here. Louis Burkhoff, in his Systematic Theology, gives a great definition of providence. He says, "Providence may be defined as that continued exercise of divine energy whereby the Creator preserves all his creatures, is operative in all that comes to pass in the world, and directs all things to their appointed end." So three things there. The divine energy that the Creator had to create, that he uses that same energy to preserve all that he created, and is operative in all things that come to pass. So his hand and his will and his desires and all that, everything that happens ultimately came from him. And then God directs all things to their appointed end. So providence is a continued exercise. Providence is closely related, I think, as I've already said, to the doctrine of creation. So in that, it tells us God's creation, that he did not just start the universe and is now watching, you know, from a distance with his arms crossed and his feet up. And that would be deism. We are theists, that we have a God who is active in our life and in the world. And he's directly involved in the continuation of his creation as he was at the point of creation. It's the same thing. He created, and now his providence is him continuing on that creation with his divine energy. But it's more than that, and we'll get to it. So divine energy, Burkhoff says, is that's where this comes from. His energy is what keeps us living, keeps us breathing, keeps everything that you know moving and being. And the universe and everything in it is not only created, but sustained and preserved by God every single millisecond. And another way to define providence would be, providence is the eternal, free, and unchanging counsel of God. So, whereby God provides, he governs, he directs, he permits all things through his infinite wisdom, and everything is ran through his counsel. Everything is directed and provided through him, through the Trinity, whom we learned about, you know, weeks ago. So just to make sure we have a full picture here, we'll go to the Westminster Confession of Faith, and the divines there define providence this way: God's work of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. So we didn't mention his holiness, that we have a God that is sovereign. Yes, that we love using that word sovereign. He's controlling, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, he sits on his throne and he's sovereign over all things. But not only do we have a God who's sovereign, but his sovereignty, he's a good God, he's a holy God, he's a just God, he's a wise God, and therefore his providence comes out of that. And that's how a believer, as we'll learn in the weeks to come, can have comfort. And that's why I said at the beginning, that's why it's anxiety killing and stress relieving, is because I know who this God is, and you do as well. And so that's why the doctrine of providence and this answer is so great. And so creation was a divine energy creating the world, and providence is that same energy where the Creator is bringing everything to its appointed end. And just to hear the Catechism's answer again, what do you understand by the providence of God? The providence of God is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them, that leaf and blade, rain and drought, these things that you would think are inconsequential, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, and then this most, I guess you would say, relevant is health and sickness. God rules that. God rules over all of that. Health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. And just in case you think we left something out, the divines of the Heidelberg Catechism said, all things, in fact, come to us, not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. And there might be some who hear these definitions or hear the biblical text that and think, well, if all this is true, you know, I guess I don't have any responsibility. It looks like God has, you know, I'm just a puppet on a string is what it sounds like. It's what you're making it sound like, Nathan. But that's simply not true. Do not believe that lie. And I have just one example here real quick. Acts 4:27-28. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand, that's God's hand, and your purpose predestined to occur. So this is Jesus, and this is talking about the crucifixion. Well, who's responsible for the crucifixion? And Peter's saying it's your holy servant Jesus who was anointed, who was crucified. And He was crucified by who? Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel. Well, verse 28 says, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. So you got to ask, how was Jesus killed? Was He crushed by God or Pilate? Or, you know, who did it? And you have to say yes. That's the answer, yes. Because it's both. It's human responsibility, God's sovereignty wrapped up in this same verse, back-to-back verses. And it's just a good example of, you know, Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Jews, the Gentiles, they did the most horrendous act known to man that's ever been done, killed God. And then God says here that He predestined it to occur. And so He predestined it, yes, but they are not let off the hook. They still have responsibility for what they freely did, willingly, voluntarily, premeditated even. And so this does not get anybody off the hook of that the doctrine of God's providence just allows me to do, I don't have no responsibility now. That would be a complete lie. There's multiple verses to show that. But at the apex of that is Jesus' crucifixion. And if in His word He says, Herod, you're responsible, Pilate, you're responsible, Gentiles, you're responsible, people of Israel, you are responsible to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Now, you're not going to sit there and make sense of that 100% in your mind, because we don't have the mind to do that. But understand, God's 100% responsible. Or God, humans are 100% responsible, and God's 100% sovereign. That solves it. That's it. It's as far as we can go. And so next week we'll explore the doctrine of providence more by looking at the all things of that answer, where it says all things in fact come to us not by chance but by His fatherly hand. And what is that all things? And then we'll look at some more biblical texts, because we only looked at one there. There's numerous amounts, so I got some work to do to figure out which ones we're going to look at. But these three, I don't want to end this without looking at these three verses real quick. And that's Psalm 103:19. It says, "The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all." It says His throne. You know, it doesn't say His bed. It doesn't say His lazy boy. It says His throne. And that is to show power and authority. And just in case it wasn't clear, His sovereignty rules over all. Not some, not most, not just this or just that. It rules over all. All is what it says. Proverbs 16:33. "The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord." So in today's vernacular, you would say every roll of the dice in Vegas is determined by the Lord. So what would seem like to be the most inconsequential thing that would have the highest probability that you could possibly give to the word chance or the word luck or the word fortune, not even that is left up without God's complete control of that dice rolling from a 1 over to a 2. Or to a 2 to a 3. God controls every part of that. Even the table it landed on and rolled. God has the fabric and the little pieces of fabric hair sticking up as high as He wants it to stop with friction. I mean, you could go on and on of how the roll of the dice, the sweat on the person's hand who rolled it, all of it, every single bit of it was controlled, directly determined by God of how that dice would roll. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. So in a fallen world where we like to blame things or give credit to things called fate or luck or chance, where they say that the creation was created by, or the universe was created by chance, that it just happened, and chance has no inherent power in and of itself to create anything. It's a mathematical probability, but the culture uses words like those fate, luck, chance, and fortune to try to take God out of things and replace it with these things we don't even know what they are. They're not even real, because God, as a believer would believe, is providentially in control of all things. Colossians 1:16, speaking of Jesus, "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him." And get this, they've all been created for Him. So maybe this week you will have a keen sense of awareness of God working in your life and all around you. And may it continue on not only for this upcoming week, but for weeks to come, that the phone call you get, or the text, or the flat tire, or the conversation with an old friend, the determinations that are coming from our government and in regards to church and the transition of power and whatever it is, do not leave God out of it. It's ultimately all from Him. Health, sickness, prosperity, poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Talk to you later, Grace Church.